something great. You're going to pour out of your Spirit today on each and every person. I thank you for it. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said a great amen. If you have your Bible, if you'd open it up to Luke chapter 19, I'm going to read just a few verses in a moment. Luke chapter 19 and verse 28, I'm going to start in. We're celebrating again. We're celebrating Palm Sunday. This is a great week. There's many things that are happening this week. This is a great time of the year for you to engage and for you to let God renew you, let Him refresh you. Easter Sunday next week is just one of the greatest moments in history that has ever been, and it can be a great moment for your life as well. Incidentally, next Sunday we celebrate as a church 20 years. I can't hardly even fathom that. Can you? And so this week, though, a lot of things, ladies, you got a Bible study starts tomorrow night in the Outback again. Men's Bible study Tuesday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. in the Outback. There's a prayer always Tuesday morning, 6 a.m. to 7 right here in the sanctuary. And then Tuesday afternoon, we're going to from noon to 1 at St. Anthony's. We're going to open up the sanctuary. If you're out and around, you'd like to stop and pray. What a great time of the year for you to renew and refresh your life and engage in some of these things that maybe you haven't engaged in before. Wednesday night, another men's Bible study in the Outback. They're doing a great book called The Bait of Satan and how the enemy uses offenses to pull you in and destroy your life. That Greek word, scandalon, it's a trap that the enemy sets for you. And the ladies are doing this Bible study and the men. So you all ought to be free of any offense. You shouldn't be upset at anybody by the time you get through these Bible studies. And everybody says, amen. Amen. And this is a great time of the year. Let me just say this. As we were in worship this morning, what a moment in time where you can take some of the weight that you're carrying in your life. And I've been talking about it in the last few weeks. Give up the go up. Release some of that stuff that's holding you down. Let forgiveness permeate your life. Let that be a part of who you are. Move on past some of that stuff that just continually entraps you and holds you down. Maybe, you know, I've learned knowing the Lord now. I haven't known Him all my life, like evidently some have, but I've known Him a long time in my life. And I've learned that the longer that I know Him, the more He reaches deeper into my life. And the things that weren't really predominant in my life a few years ago, now, as small as they were back then, now God illuminates them. And He doesn't do that to make you feel bad about where you're at. He does that to continually bring you up higher and to free you more so you can be more effective in the world in which He's sowed you into for others. And so God, He continually puts His finger on things, more things in your life. For some of you, you could do things, you know, 5 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, maybe a year ago, maybe a month ago that you can't do now because He brings you to a higher level. There's many things that I don't do, not because I can't, just because God has laid His hand on it and said, this is not you anymore. And so this is a great week for that to happen. This is a great week for you to let God use you in somebody else's life. Some of you, you've never reached out to anybody. You've never had that opportunity to have that one-on-one to tell someone else about what God has done in your life and to encourage them. You know, all you got to do is, you don't have to preach a sermon to them, but if you engage in 1 or 2 minutes and put one of these invites in their hands and say, come with me. And I know maybe some of you are saying, well, they see a side of my life that's not pretty. That's true. But God can help you even past that and use you in the middle of it and do something great for you. And this is a great time because people are waiting to hear from you right now. People are waiting to hear from you right now. So be that blessing. And because you can't keep silent when you've had this holy encounter in your life. Either God has done something powerful in you or He hasn't. And if He hasn't, open up your life and open up your heart and let Him do that. Because God, this is a moment in your life. He wants to bring healing to you. He wants to bring transformation to your life. He wants, for some of you, there's some reconciliation that needs to take place. And you need to ask the Lord for that. Sometimes God, he takes people out of your life for a season on purpose because he wants to do something. He wants to change you. But then when he's done his work, he might bring those people back into your life so that you can talk to them about what he has done in your life. I had a man contact me, it's probably a month ago. I haven't talked to him for over 40 years. I grew up with him in the same town. I hadn't seen him. He moved away. And out of nowhere, this guy contacts me. And my goodness, we were on the phone one day for 45 minutes talking about what the Lord has done, not only in my life, but what he is beginning to do in this man's life. Over 40 years since I've seen, talked to him. He lives in another state. I even found out he won the state lottery several years ago. I asked him if he ever sent a tithe to any church. I don't know. I didn't. Just joking. That was just a joke. No, I didn't. I was thinking about it, though. I thought, man, here's this guy who was in obscurity, and out of nowhere, the Lord hooks him up with me, and we begin to talk about the things of God. And he says, I can't believe that you're doing what you do today. Isn't that great? I'd love to hear people say that. Because that's the power of the cross. That's what this day and every other day of the year is about. That God transforms and changes our lives. And this story about Palm Sunday, this is for everyone. This isn't just for a few. Christians celebrate it because we know what he has done for us. But even the non-believer can look at this and let it attract them and draw them in to the love and to the grace that God has for them. Amen. I heard on the news this morning that in Egypt, that two churches, I think there was two churches, were bombed and over 25 Christians were killed in that. We live in such a time in our world that the answer is Jesus, the love of Christ to calm the storm that is in people's lives. And we live in a region where we really don't have to, we don't worry about that. We don't come to church thinking this could be a day where somebody, you know, sets off a bomb or blows us up. We have people here every week that are looking out. I just want you to know we have cameras and people in the sound booth that are watching that, not to control people, that just to make sure that everything is good. We do that. We go a step further in that. We watch, we look out for that. But these people all around the world, they're going to places of worship where they knowingly understand this could be the last day that they're here on earth. And they go because they love God that saved them and transformed their lives. So powerful. And let that be the attitude that we have. Not that we're worried about this is going to be our last day because somebody wants to kill us. But what would it be if Jesus returned? This would be our last moment together. Are we ready to let him take us where he's promised to take us? Or my father-in-law used to say, are you so attached to this world that if he came that you wouldn't want to let go to go to where he's calling you to? And that is what we remember today. And we remember the great things that he has done for us. And all through this week, we remember. I started to say, and then Thursday, we're going to have prayer here at noon to 1 o'clock. And then Monday evening service here Thursday night with fellowship afterwards. We're going to have some great refreshments out back. And then Good Friday services, 4 o'clock at St. Anthony, 6 o'clock here. And then again next Sunday, a great Resurrection Sunday service. And aren't you excited to know what God has done for you? And you and I, come on, we get to celebrate that this week. Come on, let's put our hands together for that. And we should look forward to the great times together with family and friendships. And ladies, I hope you go out and I hope you just buy some new outfits. Amen. Amen. Ladies, hey, come on. Amen. Amen. You buy some new outfits and you have a great time. I called one of my grandsons yesterday. I said, I heard you didn't want any chocolate for Easter. And he goes, who told you that? But that's not what it's about, but it's fun. It's a part of it. But this is a season where God, he brings hope to us, not only then, but he brings it to us right now. And on Palm Sunday, Jesus, he rides into Jerusalem. It's the last week of his earthly ministry here on the earth. And the Bible says that people were welcoming him and they were waving palm branches. They would take off their cloaks and lay them down on the street for him to walk on and to ride on. And he comes in from the Mount of Olives through the gate called Beautiful. And he announces his entry, his triumphal entry into that city on that day. It's during Passover time, and the place was full. And we pick up the story in Luke chapter 19 and verse 28. It says, "And when he had said this, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass when he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany and the mountain called Olivet that he sent two of his disciples saying, 'Go into the village opposite you and whereas you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it to me. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Just say to him, because the Lord has need of it.' And so those who were sent went their way and they found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, owners of it said, 'What are you doing with my colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of him.' And they said, and they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him, and he went, and he spread their clothes on the ground. And as he was drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in earth and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' But he answered and he said to them, 'I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out.'" God bless your word to our lives today in the name of Jesus. God is with us today as he was with them at that point, and he came to have an encounter with you and I. He comes, the Bible says, to begin to do a work inside of you and I. Here are these people, they're tired of the oppression of the Roman government, and they are hoping for a king to come and free them in an external way. But God always comes to you and I to begin to work inside of our heart. He did not just come, and he doesn't come to you and I today to take us out of the present circumstance, take us out of maybe the trouble that we're in, take us out of the challenges that we're going through, but he comes to you and I today to take the trouble and the challenge out of inside of us, to help us to be able to encounter whatever it is in this world and face it with boldness and with great confidence that if God be for us, who can be against us? And he works inside of you and I. And that is his intention. Never just to work everything out on your external, but he wants to work something on the internal. And the Bible says in Romans 15, 13, "May the God of hope fill you with joy." There it is. Fill you inside of you, not on the outside. He always works from the inside. He say, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. And may you overflow with the hope by the power of God's Holy Spirit that works inside of you." He's come to work in you. He hasn't just come to get you out of trouble. He's come to get the trouble out of you. And when you walk with him and you follow him, you won't be immune or insulated to the challenges that come to you in life. But what he will do is he will work inside of your heart and he'll make you be able to stand up against anything. 1,000 may fall at your right and 10,000 at your left, but it will not come nigh you, because greater is he that is working inside of you. David said, "Though he prepares the table before me in the presence of my enemies, surely goodness and mercy, it will follow me all the days of my life." You can be free. You don't, come on, if you're going to clap, don't mess around. And Jesus comes to broken humanity that needs redemption from a broken world. And he has come to set people free who are imprisoned in their own life, who live in the small corridors of confinement in their life. And he says, "I want to come and live inside. I want to move inside of your life. And I'll give you character when you go through problems. I'll give you strength when you go through a difficulty. I'll make you better instead of bitter. I'll make you strong in the middle of whatever it is that you're going through." And he doesn't just come to get you out of it, But he comes to give you power to go through it. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 12 says, the mountains and the hills, they'll break forth with singing before you. And the trees of the field, they'll clap their hands. If he can make mountains and hills sing and clap, he can cause you in the middle of your trial to stand up and say, if God is in me and for me, I can stand against all of this. He wants to do something great inside of you. In fact, he wants to breathe on what seems to be dead in your life. Romans chapter 4, verse 17, the Bible says, Abraham believed in the God who brings dead things back to life and creates new things out of absolutely nothing. Isn't that good news today? Because he's come to do something good and something brand new inside of you. We don't serve some dead God who was then and wasn't, and we just think about him now. Jesus is alive today. He is coming to the world. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. And this is the week that we remember what he has done, and we celebrate, and we remember the power that he just didn't only do, but he did it to bring life inside of you and I. He comes to work inside of us. And he also comes to bring great peace to us. Peace in the middle of a chaotic situation. Peace and hope that will unfold to us in a moment of fear. And he makes us peaceful people. I love that portion of that verse of scripture where the Bible says, they go get a colt that nobody has ridden on before. Do you know what happens when you live a life and you want to do everything that you want to do when you want to do it? You never allow the Prince of Peace to ride on your life. And Jesus says, I have come to take control of your life. Whew, boy, I feel God when I'm saying this right now. He wants to bring hope. He wants to bring peace into your life. Some of you are here today. You're that kind of person where you're your own person. I was going to say your own man, but there's some ladies too. You're strong. You're tough. Nobody's going to tell you what to do anytime. And Jesus says, that's not a good time to say amen. Jesus says, got to know when to hold them and when to show them. Jesus says, I want control of your life. Can I tell you that when I keep control of everything, I have the propensity to mess some things up. But when I relinquish that control and I say, nevertheless, God, not my will, but thy will be done. He then brings peace into my life. Let him bring peace. He is the Prince of Peace. When he brings peace to you, he brings hope for tomorrow. And then, lastly, he brings a hope that cannot keep you and I silent. Listen to me. I asked Rufus this morning if he knew that old song. He said he didn't. I don't know if you ever heard that. We used to sing this old song years ago. Ain't no rock gonna take my place as long as I'm alive to glorify his holy name. Anybody else heard that? Ain't no rock gonna take my place as long as I'm alive to glorify his holy name. Then it goes on to say, so praise his holy name. As long as I'm alive to glorify his holy name. Come on. Praise his holy name. As long as I'm alive to glorify his holy name. Now, if I really could sing, ain't no rock gonna take my place. As long as I'm alive to glorify his holy name. No, ain't no rock gonna take my place. As long as I'm alive to glorify his holy name. Come on, sing it. Oh, praise his holy name. Long as I'm alive to glorify his holy name. Come on, I got some black in me. Praise his holy name. As long as I'm alive to glorify his holy name. Come on today. I tell you, Rufus can make anybody look and sound good. He brings hope that you can't stay silent. Luke chapter 19 and verse 40. When all the Pharisees and the religious people were saying, calm down, You got to tell Jesus, tell your disciples, tell all these people, tone it down a little bit. They're getting out of control. And Jesus looks around and the crowd is shouting and they're waving palm branches because he has come to do something great in their lives and he has come to do something great in your life. And I'm telling you what, when I found out what God did for me, how he delivered me, how he saved me, how he cleansed me, how he forgave me of things that I couldn't even forgive myself of. And when he did that, there's no rock in this world that's going to take the place of me praising his holy name. And Jesus said, I'll tell you one thing. Listen to me, you religious people that think you got to fold your hands and be silent all the time because you're religious or you're so dignified that you don't want anybody to see you work up a sweat praising him. He said, if they don't shout out, I will cause the rocks and the stones that are laying all around you to shout out my name. I'm going to cry out to Jesus. He is great. He is wonderful. He has changed my... Come on, I want to hear some rocks cry out. Listen, I believe there's a time maybe for us to be silent. I believe that there's a time where we need to have some peace. But what is it that some have been stricken in their faith by this melancholy attitude that says, I'm not going to move. Nothing's going to move me. I'm going to keep my arms folded and my hands clasped because nothing is going to get that praise out of me. And it's a tendency to be gloomy and to let the enemy come in with depression and despondency. And God says, not on my watch. There ain't no rock going to take this place. I wonder what bothers us that we lose the sense of awe and the wonder of what he has done in our lives. I never want to get to that place. We lose our passion for worship. We miss the reality of the greatness of what God has done in our lives. And we become silenced by the world that is around us. And I fail to be stirred by the wondrous cross of Christ that bears the marks for my sin and yours. What silences us? Listen to this. And I'm closing with this. Deliberate disobedience will silence you. Contrary living to what he has called you to. Choosing my way over his way. You want to have one foot in the world. This is some old time preaching right now. You want to have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God. And you'll never have a great praise. And you'll never be able to rejoice when you live that kind of life. He wants you all in today. He wants you to be hot or cold. He says, because if you're in the middle, I don't want nothing to do with you. God is calling some of us right now. This is even in my notes today. He's calling you to be hot and to come out of that lukewarm, milquetoast attitude and begin to praise his holy name. Come on today. Stop with the disobedience. Stop with the things that you know are destroying you and the people that love you and are around you. Stop neglecting the relationship that he wants to have with you today. You're not personalizing what he has done in your life. You're not putting any emphasis or any focus on that. Everything else is important to you. But when it comes to him, you only want him when you're in the trouble. And God says, I want to be a part of your life every day. I want to do something in your life every day. And you neglect your connection with the people of God. Hebrews 10:25, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some, but even more as you see the day approaching. Come on, we need one another today. You need that person next to you. Come on, look at your neighbor either way. Just say, I need you today. Come on, tell them that. Tell them that. I need you. I need you. And there's never been a greater time in the course of history for you and I to come closer to him on this day. In this week, let him revitalize who you are. Nothing tells Satan and his followers that you have lost when he hears the praises of his people. Did you hear what I just said? Nothing tells Satan and his followers you lose when he hears you lift up a praise into heaven to him. Come on, can we do that right now? Come on, can we do that right now? Come on, can we do that right now? Come on, you want to Come on, let's give God a big praise. Come on. Not going to let the rocks take my place today. Not going to let the rocks take my place this week. And you and I, we stand among those who are on the streets of Jerusalem. Hosanna, save now. Maybe you came in today. Maybe you don't even know him as your Savior. He wants to be Lord and Master of your life. Maybe you came in today. Your life is ridden with things that you just know that are pulling you down. God, he wants to deliver you. He's not mad at you. He wants to set you free from that, set you apart from that, and begin to use you in a great and in a mighty way. He's got a great plan for your life. Maybe you came in today and the things of the world are just holding you down and holding you back. God wants to lift you higher than that today. What a great week for you to encounter God in a great new way. I want you to close your eyes, bow your head. Prayer people, I want you to come down to the altar with me. Stand. I'm going to close. No rock, none is going to take my place. I'm not going to let no rock take the place that he's called me to. For some of you this week, he's called you to be a witness to others. Some of you have lived under the clouds. Well, that's just not me. Yes, it is. He said for all of us to go into all the world, declare the good news of Jesus. For some of you today, he's just calling you to lay down some things that have become habit forming to you and have been a contributor to the destruction of your family and your home. This is the end of that. Today, I believe, is a new day in your life. This is a week that you can transform and let God make you into the person that he's called and created you to be today. For some of you, you're here today. Maybe you've never given your life to Christ. You need to do that before you leave today. You can never be everything that God has created you to be until you surrender your life to him. Would you pray with me? Your eyes closed, your heads bowed. Nothing is important right now. Just for you to get up and move or go anywhere. Just 90 seconds and that will be done. Thank you, Spirit of the living God. I pray that you will fall afresh on every person in this house right now. You know where people are in their walk. You know the intention of every heart. You know my intention today, God. You know whether or not I came in here with a heart to be seen or to have you be seen. You know the heart of every usher, of every person that's working with children, sound, children. You know every heart, every musician, every singer. You know our heart. You know the heart of every father and every mom, every son and every daughter that walked in here today. You know their heart. Oh God, we just submit it to you right now. If there's an area in our lives that you want to change and you want to be transformed so that you can be glorified, I pray that you'll do that right now. I pray for that one or the ones who have never made you the Lord of their life, that before they leave today, they will ask Jesus to come into their lives. Thank you, Lord. Just keep your eyes closed, your heads bowed just for a moment. I sense the Lord he's renewing a heart. The enemy's tried to bring a black cloud over your life. The Lord is lifting that off of you, even right now, in the presence of a mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, God, we submit our lives. I pray, Lord, that you'll have your way in us, everyone here today. I ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Man, I love you so much. Come on, did you receive today from the Lord? If you need prayer today, I want you to come down. If you want to give your life to Christ, I want you to come down. Tell somebody here, pray for me. They'll pray over you. When you leave today, get one of those little invites.